Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Michigan Golf Podcast. And yes, your notifications are correct. Today is Wednesday. If you pay attention to the calendar, I know sometimes in the year that has been 2020, the days kind of bleed together and they're all just days. But today's Wednesday, but not just any Wednesday. And I know you haven't heard me since last Tuesday. Maybe I let some of you guys down. I didn't put out a traditional kind of end of the week Thursday or Friday episode following up on that club fitting. I did get out and play over the weekend, of course, taking full advantage of this awesomely warm weather we're having in West Michigan. I'm sitting outside right now and it's still 70 something degrees out and it blows my mind. I mean, and if you're an avid golfer like me, this is November. So we're getting out and we're playing golf every chance I can get right now. Again, taking full advantage. But what brought me back to you guys this week is not to talk about my golf over the weekend, because let's be honest, if we're all golf fans here, what's the one thing that's on our mind this week? It's Masters week, and that's why I decided to postpone the Tuesday episode of this podcast and just push it to Wednesday, because why not? Let's put this out there the day before Augusta, the day before the first round of the Masters. So you tuned in to an awesome episode. Got a lot to talk about. This is just an unbelievably abnormal year, and there's so much to kind of discuss with Augusta National and the players and the event and the fact that it's November. So you know the drill. Let's grab the ad, and when we get back, let's talk the Masters, guys. Right on, guys. Welcome back. And now that we are back, let's talk the Masters. Let's talk Augusta National. Let's talk about the fact that it's November. Let's talk about COVID-19. Let's talk about who's hot, who's not. Let's talk about fantasy golf. Let's talk about the players. I mean, there's so much. This podcast, I could probably string this out for like days, potentially. There's just unlimited content here that can be discussed. But let's start kind of first and foremost with, again, the fact that we're getting geared up to start watching the Masters and watch these guys play Augusta National starting tomorrow on Thursday. Thursday, November 12th. And first of all, this is a tradition unlike any other. I mean, you guys, if you're a golf fan, you tune into the Masters every year, you hear that line all the time. But we're breaking tradition this year. We had to go and I'm part of the governing body of this, but we're talking about moving a tournament that is traditionally held in April. Kind of one of those, hey, spring is here. Competitive golf is alive and well. The season's getting ramped up. It's major season, et cetera, et cetera. And, I mean, this is what gets our golf blood pumping at the beginning of the season. And here we are in November, and at least sitting here in Michigan, and the season's winding down. I mean, everything's kind of weird and different, and it just seems like a strange time to be watching the guys tee it up at Augusta. But nevertheless, here we are. We've had to adapt. That's what COVID's done. And I mean, there's so much that has gone into that. And so to kind of just get some of that stuff out of the way, obviously, let's kind of start with the unfortunate event. If you guys tune into golf news as much as I do, you would have seen that on Monday, Sergio Garcia had to WD this week due to a positive COVID test, which absolutely sucks. The field is not deep. I mean, it's deep, but it's not, gosh, I don't even know how many players there are, but there's not that many. So it's being an abnormal year, and the way they had to kind of skew the qualifications for the event and kind of backdate things and look with the way the season was put on hold and everybody's qualifications based on last year. There's a lot. And so I want to say, gosh, it's got to be the smallest field in Masters history, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. I don't know that for a fact, but I do know this year they're only cutting it to the top 50, which is the first time that that's ever happened. And immediately, right off the bat, you're taking out Sergio Garcia. And love the guy or hate the guy, the dude is fiery, he's passionate, he's a past champion. And you hate for, I mean, all of these guys. I mean, you qualify for Augusta, qualify for the Masters, and the anticipation is there all season long this particular year. This particular year, obviously moving from April to November, these guys have had to wait X number of extra months to go and compete and battle it out at Augusta National for a green jacket. and to go this entire stretch and do what these guys are doing, having to travel, having to get tested every week, and just whether it's hotels, restaurants, air travel, whatever these guys are doing, I mean, they're taking as much precaution as they possibly can. And for Sergio Garcia to get all the way to Augusta and then on Monday of Masters week, test positive for COVID-19 and have to WD, it's just a sad thing. I mean, again, love the guy, hate the guy. I like to watch him play. I wish he could play this week, obviously, being, again, past champion. He's been playing well. Ball striking's been good. He's been in contention. He's been competing very, very regularly lately and just kind of getting geared up for this week. And so you hate to see a guy down for this particular reason. But, I mean, again, due to COVID-19, another kind of abnormality, I guess. I don't know. Whatever we're experiencing right now is patronless Masters. So we're going to watch this entire week, this entire event, and Augusta National is going to be quiet. It's going to be patronless. There's going to be no fans. There's going to be no roars. There's going to be no nothing. And that is, I mean, I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but I watch a lot of golf. And I've been watching since the restart, and no fans on any tour event. Obviously, they just kind of came back in small groups last week at the Houston Open. But up until that point, there have been no fans allowed at PGA Tour events. And for the most part, I've been okay with that. It's been, I thought it was going to be weird, and it was. I'd be wrong if I didn't say it was weird in some capacity. But for the average event and for just the guys getting out there and playing competitive golf, I mean, that's more what I was excited to see. And having there not be crowds, not be fans, not be roars, not be any of that stuff, it's been not that big of a deal. I was surprised at how little it influenced me as a viewer, at least to watch golf. But I tell you what did happen is when you got through some of those regular season events, and then you start gearing up for the U.S. Open and then the PGA Championship, and you get all the hype and the build-up and the excitement of a major championship golf tournament, and then you get out there and there's nothing. Then that started to get a little weird. And honestly, when the Masters came out and said, hey, we're not allowing patrons this year, I was stoked that they were still going to play, but this is going to be a strange week. And the guys will tell you, I mean, I'm sure some guys are okay with not having fans and some guys probably hate it. And I gotta think that come Sunday, when these guys are back there on Amen Corner 11, 12, and 13, and they're used to the roars, they're used to all of the gallery noises, everything that kind of goes along and the energy that comes with that, then going to the par 5 15th and the par 3 16th. I mean, these are pivotal holes on Sunday. I mean, you guys know, if you watch the Masters and you guys tune in, you're into this as passionately as I am. I mean, the Masters doesn't even start until the back nine on Sunday. And so to have this back nine on Sunday come and not have a peep, not have anything kind of influencing anything, no energy, no roars, no nothing, it's going to be a strange one. And so, I mean, you know, it's still going to be the Masters. I'm still pumped to watch. And fans or no fans, I mean, somebody's going to put on a green jacket on Sunday. So, you know what? I mean, you win some, you lose some, and you just kind of got to roll with it, I guess, this year. But, hey, no fans in November. Who knows what April's going to bring? I got to imagine they're going to least be trying to bring back patrons in some capacity come April, and that's not that far away. So if we miss it now, we'll get it later. You just kind of got to take a little break from tradition. But let's talk the guys. Let's talk the players. Again, smaller field. I want to say 70 something guys. I'm not entirely sure again on the count, but cutting it to the top 50. They're ditching the 10 shot rule for this year, so going to be a little tougher to make the cut. Maybe, I mean, numerically, yes, but with a smaller field, I mean, percentages are still probably roughly the same. But I don't know what to expect, because this is just obviously the biggest variable going into this week up until now, I think for a lot of guys, was weather. What's the weather going to be like? I mean, because we're talking Augusta, Georgia in November. And I used to live down south, not as far south as Augusta National and that area, but I live down in coastal North Carolina. And November can be whatever it wants to be. I mean, obviously it's not Michigan, so it's not traditionally as cold as it is here, but it can be. It can be cold. It can be windy. It can be warm. It can be sunny. It can, I mean, there's, you guys know how it is. The weather's is, it's a very fluid thing. And so I think guys were a little concerned at first. Is it going to be wet? Is it going to be dry? Is it going to be cold? Is it going to be windy? Is it going to be warm? And what are we going to experience? And thankfully, I think for a lot of the guys, I think they're pretty pumped to see a lot of just a nicer week than probably could have been anticipated. We're looking at temperatures in the 70s. I think it even kind of creeps into the low 80s potentially. I know there's rain in the forecast, but this is Augusta National. I mean, it can rain umpteen inches and they'll just vacuum it out. I mean, they've all got the sub-air system, and trust me, if they want that golf course to play firm, which they probably do, they probably will, those greens will be fine, the fairways will be fine. And it's Augusta National. It's the greatest golf course in the country. So they can do with it what they want, regardless of whether there's a 40% chance of rain today, tomorrow, or any day else this week. But I think it's going to be a cool thing to watch, because I think, again, having a nice week, nice weather, obviously the azaleas aren't going to be in bloom. It's going to be a little untraditional, but there's going to be some fall color popping, I think. I've seen some pictures online, and I've been watching some video and stuff like that, and I think it's going to be a really, really pretty week to watch. And so that's kind of besides the point, because we're here to talk players. Let's talk about the guys. Power rankings, fantasy golf, expert picks, I mean, call it what you will, but I mean, who's going to win this week? Who is going to win this week? And, you know, I feel like there's always going to be a dark horse. There's always going to be a couple of the guys that are just perennial hunters at Augusta. They're going to be there regardless. And then there's kind of, obviously, I don't know, is there a favorite this week? Can you have a favorite for Augusta National in November when it's never, ever happened before? I don't know. And everybody's going to bring something different. So this is a year and a tournament and then a week unlike any other. Because I don't even know where to start when talking about these guys. Because I was picking fantasy on Monday and Tuesday and trying to put together a lineup. And I'm like, I don't even know where to begin. And because on one hand, I feel like it's Augusta National. So the guys that are normally up there, Jason Day, I got to think, he's there all the time. And Tiger, regardless of form, he's the defending champ. He always shows up at Augusta with some sort of a game. Then you've got Dustin Johnson, who's always there. You got John Rahm. You got McIlroy. You got BK, Brooks Koepka, JT, Justin Thomas. And you know what? I mean, it's Augusta. And again, regardless of form, I want to throw Jordan Spieth in the mix, and who knows what he's going to show up with. But I think if I want to talk, I'm going to stick it to, let's leave it to top five. Because otherwise we could go on and on about these guys. So top five in my book, who's going to show up and who's going to play and who's got a chance to win. I think if I'm picking five guys that at the end of the week are going to potentially be in contention, I'm going to go with DJ. I think Dustin Johnson is going to be there. He played really well last week at the Houston Open. I really thought that he might sneak it and kind of get it done last week if it wasn't for Carlos Ortiz doing what he did and just played well and finished it off right. So DJ, I think he's going to be there. McIlroy. He is my boy. I've talked about him probably quite a bit on the podcast. I mean, I feel like I talk about McIlroy a lot with a lot of guys. So I'm sure I've brought him up on the pod. He's one of my two all-time favorite golfers to watch right now and has been for a while. But I want to see him get it done. I want to see Rory get the Grand Slam. And this could be it. This could be the difference maker. Maybe a November Masters and just kind of an unusual set of circumstances is what he needs to get over the hump. Maybe getting rid of the patrons this year and for this event is going to be advantageous for him. Who knows? There's all kinds of things. He's been playing well. I think he's got good game going in. So let's go with DJ. Let's go with McIlroy. My other favorite, the major championship slugger, Brooks Koepka, BK. I got to think he's going to be there. He was there last year, obviously, coming down the stretch until he dunked it in the water on 12. And even then, he fought back after that and got back in the mix. I think I want to say he finished. Did he finish T2? I know he was right there with DJ last year, but a couple behind Tiger, but I can't recall. But I got to think, again, he played well last week. He got off to a little bit of a slow start in Houston, but obviously rebounded quite well and ended up with a top five finish. So I think BK is going to be a potential threat. Justin Thomas, he's going to be my number four. And again, JT is one of those guys that just always seems to be there. Looking at this year, I mean, this is his fifth appearance at Augusta National. He has scored better and finished higher every year. Still chasing his first top 10, but I got to think that this could be a good week for him. Since the restart of the PGA Tour season, he's already got a win and 3 second place finishes, so his game's been sharp. And I don't see why he couldn't be a threat this week. I know he's kind of, I don't know. I'm trying to just kind of rack my brain and think of where JT might not be able to get it done. But I really feel pretty strongly that he could be there this week. And number five, I mean, this is a tough spot. Again, I want to go down this list and I want to just talk about all these dudes. Because I haven't talked Tiger. But five's a toss-up spot for me. I'm trying to really choose wisely here. And the two guys I'm back and forth between are John Rahm and Bryson DeChambeau. And John Rahm is, he's got a good, I mean, I look at this guy's, I feel like everybody, I could sit here and look at this list and say everybody's got a good chance to win. John Rahm is a dude, I mean, he's a cool dude. And if you've been tuning into the Masters stuff this week, Monday, John Rahm, hole in one on, gosh, I forget what par three it was, but knocks one in the practice round for an ace. Tuesday, practice round, the guys skipped the ball across the pond on 16, the par three. They skipped across the pond. What's John Rahm do? Skips it across the water, runs it up on the front of the green, chases it back to the pin, and dunks it for a second hole in one in as many days at Augusta. And it's like, dude, that's magical. That's ridiculous. I mean, just the fact that the dude had two hole-in-ones in consecutive days, and then the fact that the second one comes from skipping the ball across the water. And granted, a hole-in-one has just an exponential amount of luck involved. But when you're skipping it across the pond and then chasing it onto the green, then running it through the green, and it still happens to go in, I mean, that's even more luck than the normal hole-in-one, I would absolutely say. But is it foreshadowing? Is it a sign of things to come? Is this Rahm's week? Is he going to do something crazy that's just going to surprise us all? Or are we going to look at Bryson? And it's I feel like 2020, when you get past everything else that it has been, 2020 has been the Bryson show. I mean, the dude has changed his body. He's pushing the envelope when it comes to the distance. He's hitting just stupid long tee shots. He's always been scientific about everything that this game has, but he's potentially showing up with a 48-inch driver. I watched his news conference, and I kind of saw him talk a little bit about it, and he's still having a tough time dialing it in, it sounds like. He hasn't quite got it spec'd out the way he wants it to kind of be as advantageous of a weapon as he's hoping it would be, but he doesn't need a 48-inch driver. I mean, the dude's hitting it stupid distances anyway, and I think this is where, if you guys, gosh, who was it? Was it Spieth? A month or so ago, I got to think. He just point blank said it. I mean, he said, the Masters this year, it's Bryson's tournament to lose. And I don't think he's wrong about that. And so that's why, I mean, I kind of played favorites. I love DJ. I love McIlroy. I love BK. And I'm a huge JT fan. So I kind of threw those guys ahead. But I also agree that this week it's Bryson's to lose. I mean, the dude has got a significant advantage over every player in the field. And he won. I mean, if he putts well, I mean, that's kind of the difference maker. I mean, you can't beat Augusta National purely off the tee and purely with length, but can you? I mean, Tiger did it back in 97. If you look back to 97 and think about that performance, I mean, Tiger was hitting wedges into par fives. He was hitting 8 irons or 9 irons where other guys were hitting fives and sixes. And I kind of feel like that's going to be where we're at this week, potentially. And especially, Bryson made a great point, and one that I hadn't really thought about until hearing him say it, is without the patrons this week, he's got a lot of opportunity to hit the ball to places that you probably wouldn't normally hit the ball. And he's talking about, like, just for a couple of examples, he's talking about the par five, 13. He's talking about hitting that through the fairway and closer to 14, where normally you would have people there, you're not going to have people. So it opens up. I mean, it's going to widen the landing area in a lot of ways for a lot of these guys. And that's going to shorten. I mean, 13 is already a very reachable par five, but he's going to be able to be even more aggressive than usual. 15, he's going to have a wedge in. I mean, guys are already hitting short irons into 15 when it's firm. But I got to think he's going to have an exceptionally short shot into the par five 15th. 18, he's talking about bombing it over the bunker and just approaching that green from a different angle. And normally, again, you'd have patrons there, but you just bomb it out there into the abyss. I mean, why not? So I think the Bryson approach this week is going to be very interesting to watch. And I'm going to be tuning in and watching very closely because I think, I mean, whether he fails or succeeds, you're going to see a guy play Augusta National in a way that nobody has played Augusta National as of late. Again, going back to 97, but the course has changed so much. They've lengthened the course, they've added trees, they've taken trees, well, some trees have been taken out due to nature, but it's a different golf course than it was in 97. So to see Bryson attack it the way he intends to attack it this week, I think is going to be something different than anything we've ever seen, or maybe we'll see again, because again, come April next year, if we've got patrons back, then there's going to be people standing where Bryson's trying to hit the ball. And I don't think he's going to take the same approach in April of 2021 as he's taken in November of 2020. So the Rahm and DeChambeau kind of toss up. But I mean, shoot, there's, like I said, I mean, then you've got guys like Tony Finau. You've got Jason Day, who seems to always be there every year in the Masters come Sunday. It seems like J Day's sitting there at top five. Same with Adam Scott. That dude is a perennial hunter at Augusta. Bubba Watson, past champion, who just always seems to be there, last handful, last 10 years. And then again, Tiger, you got the defending champ. And I could not sit here and talk about the Masters and Augusta National and share this podcast with you guys without talking about Tiger and at least weighing his chances of winning. And I mean, I haven't talked to a lot of people about it, but I do wonder. I wonder what, I mean, what's the vibe like? Is Tiger going to get it done? Is he going to show up? Is he not going to show up? And I got to think, it's just history has shown the dude can come off of surgeries. He can come off of months without playing competitive golf. He can come off of whatever he wants to come off of and show up at Augusta National and be a contender. So I think come Sunday, I gotta think he's gonna be there because he's not gonna eat this course up on length. He's not gonna Bryson DeChambeau it. He's not going to. I don't know. I don't know what he's not gonna do, but I know that this dude is going to strategize and he knows his course like the back of his hand, and he's going to put the ball in position to score every chance he gets. And I mean, I'm trying to think, like, with a guy like Tiger, are the patrons going to be, or lack thereof, is it going to be an advantage or is it going to be a disadvantage? And I kind of think for him, I think it's going to be an advantage, which is weird to say because I could very easily argue the opposite side, or any of you guys could argue the opposite side. Because I'm pretty sure that he was quoted as saying the patrons helped him win last year. I mean, when you get out there and you get the energy of the crowds, and when it's back there on Amen Corner, 11 and 12 and 13, and then you get to 15, 16, the par five, par three, and you get the roars and the energy's there, and that lifts a guy like Tiger up. But on the other hand, on the flip side, when they're not there, I just feel like this guy is a tactician. He's going to go out there, and without people, without distractions, he's going to be hyper-focused, and I feel like it's just going to be Tiger playing chess. He's just going to be out there going from position to position, putting the ball on the green and giving him the best look at birdie that he can. And this is where it's going to come down to, which it always does at Augusta National, is putting. Is can he show up? Is the Scotty Cameron going to make putts, or is it going to miss putts? And that's the anomaly for a lot of guys. And I've talked extensively on the podcast about the importance of putting, but nowhere in the professional game is it more important than at Augusta National. These greens are just absolutely insane, and if you are not just spot on with the flat stick, then it's going to be a tough week for anybody. But I think that's what Rory's problem has been for the last however many years. Gosh, I don't know how long Rory's been playing. It feels like a decade. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But if that dude could putt, that guy would not only have probably at least a couple of green jackets, but probably another who knows how many just regular professional wins. But I mean, this Tiger, I got to think no matter what happens, he's going to be top 20. I think top 20 is a safe bet. But again, who knows? But if I'm picking one guy to show up, get the W, and have that green jacket on Sunday, oh, man, I pause and I could sit here and go back and forth. I don't know. Guys, you guys, this is a tough decision. And I hate picking just one, but I'm going to go with my boy McIlroy. I think this is Rory's year. I think he's playing incredible golf. I think he is focused. I think he's energized. He's talked kind of openly about how the lack of fans and stuff is kind of taken away from his experience. It kind of makes him feel like I'm just out playing a round of golf with the boys kind of thing. But I think this is a different, obviously, it's the Masters. It's Augusta National. It's, you show up and whether Rory is nonchalant and kind of blasé about this, but he wants to get it done. He wants the Grand Slam. He wants the green jacket. And honestly, I don't think he cares if there's an asterisk next to it. I don't think he cares if it's the Masters that was played in November without patrons. I just think he wants to get the W. He wants the green jacket. He's playing well. He's driving it well. He's doing everything. He's doing everything well. And shoot, I mean, I'm looking at the numbers right now. He's played the Masters 11 times. He's got 5 top 10s, 4 top 25s. I mean, he's there. I got to think that he's going to be the one to get it done. And if it's not him, I'm fighting the DeChambeau pick, but I'm going to go with DJ. I do think Dustin's got just the hot hand, and I think he's got all the elements. He's a great driver of the golf ball. He hits the ball a freaking mile. He's going to hit high, soft approach shots. His wedge game's sharp. His putting's been good. I think if there's a dude here that's going to get it done, that's not Rory, I think it's going to be DJ. But what else can we talk about? It's the Masters. We're all tuning in. I think coverage is going to be unique this year. I'm going to probably predominantly watch online. I know Masters.com is going to have a ton of coverage. It's going to be weird with Tiger going off at 7:55 a.m. on Thursday off the 10th. Again, this time of year, not only was weather a variable, but we were going to be battling darkness. I remember what it was like to live out east, and it gets dark freaking early, especially post-daylight savings time. We're sitting here in Michigan, and I'm recording this at 5:15 p.m., and it's just already kind of twilighty. I swear, when I was living in coastal North Carolina, it seemed like it was a good 45 minutes or so earlier that it would get dark. So split tees, early tee times, I think that's going to be weird, but it's fine. I mean, again, Thursday and Friday, Saturday moving day is going to be huge. And then Sunday, I'm probably not going to be getting off the couch because I'm going to be tuned in start to finish. I do think I'm going to try and play golf Saturday, though. I got some guys that are again, trying to stretch out the season, which I love, and assuming it doesn't rain. If it doesn't rain here Saturday, I will forego Saturday at the Masters to play my own round of golf. But I don't know. Sometimes I'm a diehard, sometimes not. But we'll see. What else can we talk? Augusta. Courses looks great. Bryson said there's a couple of trees they've added that are going to kind of maybe make things a little bit different. I think everything else is pretty status quo, though. The cool thing about Augusta National is they don't really broadcast what they do. They don't tell you about the changes that they're making. You don't read about it in the news. You don't see it on TV. And it feels like every year these guys show up and the course is just a little bit different. Just little quirks, little differences, maybe a little extra length here, a new tee box there, a new tree was planted here. And the funny thing is, I mean, the money that bankrolls this operation and just the history of this piece of property, I mean, they can do whatever they want and make it look like it's been like that for a half a century. It's unreal. They bring in these full-grown trees and they just stick them in the ground and you would never even know that they weren't there in the first place. So kind of a unique thing there. I heard the guys talking about a little bit about the Bermuda to ryegrass kind of ratio. It sounds like it could maybe change a little bit, kind of how the course plays in November compared to April, but hard to say. I mean, you guys know. I mean, you watch these guys, and these guys are just hyper aware, and they have to be. This is their profession. If this was my profession, I would be highly attentive to. I'd probably know how many blades of grass were on the stinking greens, but that's what these guys do. They know, hey, it's Bermuda, it's rye, there's more of this and less of that. I mean, this is spongy, this is going to, ball's going to sit up, ball's going to sit down, ball's going to bounce, ball's going to run. I mean, there's so many variables, but these guys know hands down what to expect and they know what it's going to be like for them and how it's going to influence their game. So, I don't know, I'm just looking forward to a fun week. I think it's going to be just incredible to watch. And the weird thing is for me, tuning in this week to the Masters is kind of like it's the culmination of the 2020 season. It's the end. It's the swan song. It's the farewell. I don't know what it is, but it's a cool week and I'm looking forward to watching. And as we say farewell to 2020 in the major season that has kind of tried to come together to wrap up this year, we're going to put an end to this week and then we're going to be looking forward to the next major, which is going to be the Masters, and it's going to be April of 2021. So it's going to come and go before we even know it. And so as weird as this is going to be, as weird as it is talking about it and sharing this week with you guys, we're going to be right back to 2021 and be gearing up for the Masters next spring. So I don't know. Let's see. I mean, if you guys, I mean, as listeners, as followers of the Michigan Golf Podcast, you guys hit me up on G Smith Golf on Instagram periodically, which is awesome. I mean, who are you guys picking to win? Maybe I'll put a poll out, maybe I won't. I've been taking a little bit of a social media hiatus lately for no particular reason. Just haven't really had a lot. It's the end of the season. I'm just playing for fun. I mean, I tell you guys about what I do and share a little bit about it on Instagram and stuff like that, but it ebbs and flows, you know. Sometimes there's moments of inspiration and sometimes it's like not really sure what I want to share with you guys, so we go back and forth. But as always, I mean, thanks for tuning in. I want to stretch this out, but there's so much that could be talked about and said, and I want to kind of keep it tight because we're all saying the same thing. It's the Masters, it's Augusta National, it's the best players in the world. Wait, before I let you guys go, I want to talk about one more thing. I'm so glad I just got long-winded and kind of rambled and wasn't quite sure where I was going to go with this and trying to draw it to a conclusion. But let's talk this. This is one thing that I'm extremely excited for, and I want to know. I wish I could take a poll. I wish I could engage you guys in real time. But I think one of the things I'm most looking forward to do this week is watching two guys. I'm looking forward to watching Colin Morikawa and Matt Wolf, two Masters first timers in such a weird year. So how did I forget this until now? I'm kicking myself. But good thing I've got a whole nother bunch of time to burn for you guys, because let's talk Matt Wolf and Colin Morikawa. So now that I kind of dialed things down, now I'm going to ramp it back up. So Matt Wolf and Colin Morikawa, two first-time participants in the Masters, two guys that have just incredible records on tour already. These guys have come out as rookies last year and got it done, rolled with the punches this year. They've shown up. Matt Wolf has been just charismatic and brought this just wild swing to the forefront of the PGA Tour, and gone from the guy who you see and you're thinking, who is this guy? What's he doing? I mean, this guy's not going to last, to all of a sudden he's getting the dub. He's winning. He's recording top five finishes. He's climbing the world rankings. He's just been an incredible force, and he's done it just so well. And it's fun to watch. And I go back and forth with these guys because I don't know which one's my favorite. I love picking favorites. And Matt Wolf, Colin Morikawa, it's a toss up. Morikawa, he was, gosh, I wish I could remember what I saw earlier. I was watching something when he came out of college. He was ranked like 1,100 something in the world. So the world rankings are deep, and they've got amateur rankings, they've got professional rankings, but it's a long list. It's a really long list. And obviously we don't really, unless you're much beyond the avid golf fan, I mean, you know maybe who's top 10, but I don't even know who's top 10 right now. I don't even know who's top 5, but I do know that Colin Morikawa is all the way up to number 4. I couldn't tell you. I don't know who's 1 right now. It seems like number 1 in the world rankings has gone back and forth, kind of been bobbled around with a couple of guys between Rahm and DJ and BK. It seems like they're all up there, but Morikawa is up to number 4. And the dude has got a major championship under his belt at the PGA at Harding Park. And, I mean, the dude's stellar. He's unflappable. He got the win in the playoff over JT not that long ago. It feels like not that long ago. It was probably 2 months ago now. But so if you tune into golf like I do, JT made a bomb of a putt on the first playoff hole. Morikawa knocked in a bomb right on top of him. The dude shows no fear. He's just stoic. He's mature. He's got every facet of the game in the right place at the right time, it seems like. And so to kind of go a different direction with these two, I mean, they're both stellar players. They're both getting their first look at Augusta. And I forget the stat. I wish I could remember what year it was that a first-time participant in the Masters got the W. I feel like it was in the 70s. I wish I knew more Masters facts, but I don't. But I really, truly think that one of these guys could be the first since then to win a green jacket in their first trip around Augusta. And if I'm picking one of them to get it done, sorry, Wolfie, dude, I hate to do this, but I'm picking Colin Morikawa. I just think he's got every facet of the game just dialed in. This dude is just, he's the distance, he's got precision, he's a great putter. And I mean, part of me wants to say, hey, you know what? I mean, course knowledge kind of reigns supreme. Augusta National requires course knowledge, it requires experience. I mean, but it's a different era. These guys, I mean, maybe these guys are playing Augusta for the very first time this week, but you know that these guys have a backlog of memories from watching Augusta, watching Tiger, watching whoever get it done. I mean, these guys are, with modern day media and stuff, and these guys grew up watching, whether it was Tiger, Bubba, Adam Scott, Phil Mickelson, I mean, you name it, these guys probably watched every round of every Masters since they were old enough to do this. And so they know where you got to hit it on 16. They know what to expect when you're playing Amen Corner and trying to gauge the wind on 12. I mean, shoot, there's all these things that I gotta feel like Matt Wolf and Colin Morikawa are gonna have at least a pretty good backlog of information and knowledge going into this week. So Wolfie, dude, I mean, the guy's hot when he's hot, and he's not when he's not. And so that's kind of why I think Morikawa is going to be the if I'm picking one of these guys to contend and potentially be there on Sunday to get the W, I want to see Wolfie do it. I want to see him get it done. I want to see him play well. I hope he does. I think he will. I think both of these guys are going to make the cut quite comfortably. But I got to think Matt Wolf's going to be maybe that top 25, where Morikawa is going to be top 10, top 5, potentially right there on Sunday, going down the back nine with a chance to put the green jacket on. And so I know I kind of derailed. I went from conclusion to kind of ramp it back up. And I'd be curious to know what you guys think too. I mean, Matt Wolf, Colin Morikawa, the dudes are studs and they're just young and they're fun as heck to watch. And I'm fired up for them this week because I think these are two of the most exciting guys to watch in the game of golf. And these guys bring such youth and exuberance and just, it's an incredible, I leave Victor Hovland out of this for, and I don't really know why, but I think he's kind of sometimes I think he's overrated. Sometimes I think he's underrated, but this week for the two guys that I'm kind of observing, I don't even know if Victor Hovland's playing. Is Victor Hovland playing in the Masters? I feel like I haven't seen. I don't think he is, because I feel like if he was, I would know. But I'm not seeing it. So anyway, that's the end of my Masters rant. You guys have stuck with me through the highs and the lows of the last 40 minutes of this episode. I felt like there was a lot to talk about. I tried to cover quite a bit, but also do it pretty tightly. So that's my top five. That's my potential winner. I'm going with McIlroy. I'm going with Morikawa over Wolf. And I'm not super into golf betting. Otherwise, I'd run all the lines with you guys. I'd run all the numbers and just kind of give you the over-unders on all this stuff. But that's it. I know I didn't talk Phil much. The dude hit bombs, attack pins. That's what he's going to do at Augusta. Let's see if he does it. He just hasn't been playing well lately, so I didn't think. Again, he could show up, he could not, you never know. It's Augusta, so Phil's kind of one of those guys that's an anomaly, a bit of a variable there. But that's it, guys. Let's just kick back, let's watch, let's enjoy the week. I know the weather here in West Michigan is taking a turn for the worse. It's going to get cold, it's going to get wet, we're going to get rained on. I'm glad it's not snow flurries, but it's a great week to sit on the couch and watch these guys play Augusta National and fight for a green jacket. So let's see how it gets done, and then we'll be back next week, probably again putting this podcast out on Wednesday, probably not going to put anything out on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So let's wait until the tournament wraps up. Let's see who's wearing the green jacket come Sunday afternoon, and then let's talk about it next week. All right, but until then, stay warm, stay dry. Hope you guys enjoyed the awesome weather we've been having here and gotten out and played some golf, but we'll catch up soon. All right, it'll probably be about a week, but maybe I'll kind of dust off some cool new content for you guys. I'm trying to strategize where to go next with the Michigan Golf Podcast. I know the season's kind of winding down, so I'm starting to run out of stuff to talk about, but this is a game of golf, so let's get creative. I'll keep bringing you guys the stuff. So anyway, thanks for tuning in, guys, and we'll catch up with you next week.